Well, good morning. Is ready for some story time? I like story time. Everyone's like quiet. So first service was kind of the same. Like there's just like this, I don't know. Y'all did the lightning storm kept you up late or? Yeah, that's all right. Story time will loosen us up a little. All right, here we go. Let's do a recap because, you know, we got a, you know, good storyteller will always recap the last one just so you know, you're not out of the loop. So last week, a prophet of God came to Eli the priest and he delivered a message of judgment against Eli's priestly lineage. He was told that Eli's family would face the wrath of God for their wicked actions and their unrepentant hearts, and that God would establish a new lineage of priests who would serve the Lord faithfully forever. And it's here that our story continues. But once upon a time in a kingdom of kings, when Samuel was a young boy, he was a minister to the Lord under Eli. One day, Eli was asleep in his usual place, and his eyes had grown so weak that he could not see. Samuel was sleeping there nearby in the temple. And the Lord called out to Samuel by name, and he ran to Eli, and he said, "Here I am. You called me." Eli responded, "I did not call you. Go back to sleep." Samuel went back to sleep, and again the Lord called Samuel, who rose and ran to Eli. "Here I am," he said. You called me." "I did not call you, my son," said Eli. Go back to sleep." Samuel did not know that it was the Lord who was calling him. He went back to bed, and again the Lord called him a third time. And Samuel got up, he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." It was then that Eli understood that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go back to sleep, and this time if you are called again, reply, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to sleep, and again the Lord called to him, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And the Lord spoke to Samuel, telling him about the judgment that would be fulfilled against the family of Eli. After hearing the Lord's words, Samuel laid in his bed until the morning, and he was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had told him. After Samuel did his morning chores in the house of the Lord, Eli came to him and asked him what the Lord had said to him in the night. Samuel told him everything, without holding anything back, and Eli realized that the judgment of the Lord was just, and he accepted it. As Samuel grew into a young man, the Lord continually spoke through him, and everyone in Israel knew that Samuel was a prophet of God. The word of the Lord came to Samuel regularly, and Samuel preached it faithfully to God's people in all of Israel. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as the body of Christ to hear your word. Lord, I pray that you would speak your words to our hearts and our minds today, Lord. That our hearts would not be hardened, but we would be faithful to hear your voice, to hear your calling, and to then live that out in obedience. Lord, help us to glorify you with our very lives. Help us to not harden our hearts to what you would have for us today. Lord, help us to be bold in both the hearing and doing of your word. We praise you for this precious gift, this time together, and we ask you to be in every part of it. Amen. Well, kids, y'all are dismissed to Sunday school. You guys can head on out. And as they do that, you guys can grab your Bibles. As I flip my note pages. Well, my name is Brandon. If you don't know me, I'd love to make your acquaintance. I'm lead pastor here at High Point. And I hope you all had a wonderful week. I really enjoyed that lightning storm last night. I really enjoyed the cooler weather. Driving to church this morning with my windows down. It was just delightful. Did anybody stay up and watch the lightning storm? No, y'all were asleep. Didn't wake you up? There was a couple that were like earth-shattering kind of ones, you know, and it was just incredible. I think it's such a neat occurrence in creation that just reminds me how little we are and how powerful our God is, you know. Anyway, this morning, I want to just begin by doing something a little bit different. There's a lot of stuff in our world, and it feels like as you look at the news and you look at the things going on in our world, it feels like the things just continue to pile up. So what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm just going to give you a couple minutes to silently pray to the Lord for some of these things that are happening in our world, right? War in Ukraine, there's been mass shootings and racial issues, there's wildfires and crazy weather, there's political strife and more COVID and just heartache upon heartache. And us as the people of God, it's good to just still your hearts before the Lord and say, even in all of these difficult things, Lord, we trust you. So I'm going to just invite you, church, to silently pray before the Lord. Take a few minutes, and maybe one of those issues is really near and dear to your heart. Go before the Lord and ask him for it. And then I'll close us in a few minutes, and then we'll continue on from there. So let's bow our heads together. Lord, we say thank you that you're a God who hears our cries. And Lord, even in the midst of the seeming darkness in this world, Lord, we want to say that we trust you. We love you. We know that you're a God who works all things for your glory and our good. And Lord, even when we can't see the beginning from the end, Lord, we know that you are a faithful God. And so, Lord, in all these things, we ask to be present, to glorify yourself in them, and to make yourself known to this world. And use us, Lord. Use us to do that as well. We praise you, we love you, and we thank you for this time. Amen. So, church, this morning we're continuing our series through the book of 1 Samuel. We're in chapter 3. Our series is called Once Upon a Time in the Kingdom of Kings. And so I would encourage you, let's open our Bibles this morning or open the apps on your phones, whatever you have. We'll begin to be in the whole of chapter 3 in the very first verse of chapter 4. If you need a Bible or didn't get out of the house without one, there are always some in the back. You can get up and grab one, and let's open God's Word together. So it's here that in Samuel chapter 3 that he's now a young man, perhaps even a teenager at this point. He's more than just a little boy, because the distance between chapter 2 and chapter 3 has probably been several years. And here in the opening of chapter 3, we see Samuel doing what he's always been doing, ministering unto the Lord in the temple under Eli. Samuel's been doing this since he was 4 or 5 years old. And now that he's a teenager, he's been faithfully serving the Lord as a priest in the temple of God. And as we look at the passage this morning, there are two significant things about Samuel's life. One is his devotion and commitment to the Word of God. The other is his commitment to prayer. Samuel is both a man of word and prayer. And as we look at our text, as we open these passages this morning, I want to ask you four questions. A first question is, why was Samuel's ministry important? Why was it necessary? So if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. It says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision." Now, what days are being referred to here as we're beginning this chapter, right? Samuel, we know, is living historically in the days right after the period of the judges. And if you go back to the book of Judges and you read that very, very difficult book, there's not a lot of good stuff happening, right? The last verse of Judges chapter 21 actually gives us kind of a summation of what the Judges period was all about. It says this. It says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That sounds kind of familiar. But this is what summarizes the period or the days of the judges. This was the world Samuel was living in, a world in which everyone did what they thought was best for them. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And it was a time of great sin in the nation of Israel. It's a time when people were living for themselves and God had withdrawn himself from giving his people prophetic visions, prophetic words from him. There are no preachers, there are very few prophets, and when God calls Samuel, he's calling them into this context where he's not been speaking to his people on a regular basis. Samuel is really the first great prophet of the Old Testament. Now, God didn't call many other prophets at this particular time, but Samuel was the first one. And he's a rarity. It says the word of the Lord didn't come to the prophets on a regular basis. It was rare that the word of God was even spoken. Now, back in this day, what would happen, because they didn't have God's word, God would give messages directly to these prophets, and then it was their job to speak that truth word for word to God's people. They didn't embellish on it. They didn't add to it. They spoke the exact message that God said, tell them these things. And that's what their job was. Now, the word of God, we are told, is rare in this day, but I want to encourage you with something, just a reminder. The word of God is not rare today. The word of God is not rare today, even though it perhaps might seem like it. Because guess what? You can hold it in your hands. There are more Bibles in this room than existed in many points in history. And it's a precious gift that you've been given. It's a precious gift to hold and have the Word of God in your hands. You can hear it. You can read it anytime you want. You can get on the internet and listen to preachers speak truth to you anytime you want. But it can become rare if we ignore it. If we become apathetic to not listen carefully when God is speaking to you. So I want to remind you and ask you, church, is that Bible at your house dusty and neglected? Have you choose to ignore it? Because God is trying to speak to you and he wants you to cherish the precious gift that is God's word. Now, the second thing I want to look at is how did Samuel's ministry begin? Right? God calls him while he's laying down in the temple at night. Verse 3 says this. It says, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Now, this idea of the lamp of God, right? Is there a lamp in the temple that Samuel was intended to keep lit all night so that if the priests had to get up, And you know, they wouldn't be stumbling around in the dark and knock over the ark. You know, that would have been bad. So I believe that the passage is referring to that, but I think it's also referring to the dark days that they were living in. This idea that the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and God's lamp, although dim, hadn't gone completely out. God wasn't not speaking. He was just speaking on very few occasions. And I also love that Samuel's sleeping where the ark is, right? Like, I don't know what that means, how that worked, but it's really cool. Now, as Samuel is lying there in the temple, it says he hears a voice. And it's the voice of God, and God calls him by name. God calls us by name. And God actually calls him four different times because he doesn't figure out until Eli tells him that this is God himself speaking. And so the first three times, like any young child that gets woken up in the night, what does he do? He runs to his father figure and he's like, hey, what do you need? And Eli is the dad, right? It's like, just go back to bed, man. Why are you waking me up? Go get a drink of water, go to the bathroom, do what you got to do, but go back to bed, right? Parents, we know this all too well. And every time Samuel hears the voice of God, he runs into Eli and says, "Here I am, you called me." And three times Eli responds by telling Samuel, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Now, on a side note, we've been fairly critical of Eli so far, and rightfully so, right? He's been a scoundrel. But it's interesting to note that it is Eli who realizes and tells Samuel that it is God himself speaking to Samuel. Eli knew enough about the character of his God to say to Samuel, "Hey, God is speaking to you." On another side note, you know, when you get down to verse 18, we're not going to cover this today, but the second part of verse 18, Eli replies to Samuel's word of judgment against him. He says, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And I love that we have just a glimmer of redemption, or at least an understanding that Eli accepts God's sovereign judgment at this time. Whether he thinks God is going to relent or whether he knows that he deserves this punishment, he reconciles to himself that, you know what, this wrath that's coming is deserved, and in it God is still good. I love that. I love that idea. He's just gotten to this place where, and he's been thinking that this judgment is coming for years, right? This prophet who came, this nameless prophet who came in chapter 2, gave him this word from the Lord probably several years before this. And so he's been anticipating, when is this going to happen? And when Samuel brings this word of judgment, it's like, yeah, that's fair. I deserve it. And God is still good. And I love that. A little side note. Now, back to Samuel. So God is calling Samuel in verse 10. And Samuel responds to the Lord by saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." It's like Samuel is telling the Lord, "Here I am. I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. I'm ready to say whatever you want me to say. I'm ready to go wherever you want me to go. I'm your servant, and I'm listening to your voice." And though it might seem like God is silent today, right? He doesn't speak to us audibly. God is not, if you're laying in your bed at night and God is speaking to you audibly, run to the Word of God and test if that's from him or not. I would be nervous about that. Doesn't mean he can't, but he doesn't do that normally, right? The way that God speaks to us now is through his precious word. And so everything that we want to know from God is already here, readily available at our fingertips. And we simply have to open it up and say, "Lord, speak to me. I'm your servant." Now, Samuel's telling the Lord, "I'm here, I'm listening. Tell me what you have for me." And though it might seem that God doesn't speak to us, I would encourage you to remember that your God is constantly wanting to speak to you. He's waiting to speak to you. He's waiting for you to open up his word and say, "Lord, here I am. I'm your servant. Tell me what you have for me." A.W. Tozer reminds us this. He says, "God is not silent. It is the nature of God to speak. The second person of the Holy Trinity is called the Word. And the Bible is the inevitable outcome of God's continuous speech. It is the infallible declaration of his mind." Do you want to know the voice of God? Do you want to hear the Lord speak to you? Church, all you have to do is open his word. God wants to speak to you. He wants you to open the scriptures and hear the very truth that he has for your life. And often I think we get in situations where we're trying to discern the will of God. We're trying to discern a direction for our life, or what you have for me, Lord. What are you calling me to do? And we don't know, and we're wondering. And God's like, "It's right here. Open my word and let it speak. Let it speak to your heart and mind to give you clarity and truth and direction." Every time you hear the word of God read or preached, or every time you hide it in your heart, God is saying something to you. Now, it is possible to have God speak to you and then you respond with no or pass. Don't want that, Lord, right? There's an entire Old Testament book about one such fellow named Jonah who tries to do this. Now, on a side note, that doesn't go well for Jonah, right? Because he basically ends up covered in whale vomit, which would have bleached his skin white. So he's kind of walking like a ghost through Nineveh. Like, it just would have been just a poor Jonah, you know. But this is what happens when you tell God no after he calls you very clearly to go and serve him. Well, if you want to go read that on your own, I highly recommend it. It's a delightful book. So God tells Jonah, go to the Ninevites. And Jonah thinks, they don't deserve to hear your words, so I'm going to go 100% in the opposite direction. Right? And maybe today the Lord is asking you to serve him. Maybe he's calling you to specifically go and proclaim who he is to your workplace or to your neighborhood or to, I don't know. This is between you and the Lord. But my question to you, Lord, church, is God trying to get your attention? Is he calling you into the service of the king? And you're sitting there going, I don't want to do that. That sounds like a job for someone else. And maybe God's just putting it on your heart again and again. Do this. This is where I'm calling you. This is how I'm calling you. Maybe the fostering adopt people are up here sharing about foster ministry, and the Lord's like, you should do that. And you're like, never. And what I'm telling you is, you should probably approach that differently. That perhaps tonight as you're laying in your bed, you should say, all right, Lord, let me have it. And see what happens when you open the word in the morning and he puts some passage about caring for widows and orphans in front of you. And he's like, look, can I make it more obvious? This is you. I'm calling you. This is how it works, church. And I think we often balk at that, but this is how God speaks audibly to his church today. By the church simply going to him and saying, Lord, this is stirring in my heart. Now I'm going to run to your word. I'm going to seek wise counsel. I'm going to pray fervently. And then at the end of the day, you have a choice to obey or to disobey. And maybe God is saying, look, I'm going to give you another opportunity to hear my voice, to hear me speak to you. And he's saying, will you lay your heart on the altar of God and say with Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant hears you. I'm listening, God. Tell me what to do. Tell me where to go. Tell me who to serve and who to love. As Scripture reminds us in Hebrews 3:15, he says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. You see, rebellion to God, hardening of hearts, is when he calls you to serve him and you say, no, that's for someone else to do. That's why we have pastors. There's, you know, somebody, you know, younger and better off than me, and, you know, they can handle it. And maybe the Lord's saying, no, it's you. I need you. And he's asking you, will you follow his leading? Will you listen to his voice? Will you hear his word and say with Samuel, here I am, Lord, your servant is listening. Now, my third question is this. What is Samuel called to do? Right? So everyone in the church has a calling. Everyone has a ministry. And to serve the Lord in any capacity is a beautiful thing. Right? And to be clear, I'm not saying all of us should be preachers or missionaries or foster care advocates or whatever it may be. We are all not called to do the same thing. We are the body of Christ. But God has gifted you with passions and desires and gifts. And he said, this is how I want you to serve the church, to glorify me. And a lot of times that service to the Lord comes with some negative connotations, some negative aspects, right? It's an incredible privilege and joy to serve the Lord, but often is also ugly or difficult, or it comes with a heavy burden. Yeah, just a news flash, just in case you didn't know, not all ministry is roses and daisies, right? It's hard. And even in the joy, it can be hard. In fact, look at this, at the ministry that Lord calls Samuel to as he begins to serve the Lord. It's there in verses 11 through 15. The Lord says to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." It's rough. Samuel lay there until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. So think about this for a minute, church. Samuel's first task at ministry, his first calling from the Lord, was to deliver God's word of judgment to the man who raised him. So you just imagine if the Lord comes to you and says, "Hey, I have a word for your dad, and it's not good, and you're going to be the one to bring it to him." This is what he called Samuel to do. You know, see, Eli was in the temple. He'd become an old man. He was blind or going blind, and he had been waiting for this judgment to come. And Samuel's ministry begins with God saying, "This is what's going to be fulfilled now. From beginning to end, it's going to be accomplished just as I said, and your job is to take these words to Eli and tell him." This was the guy he lived with in the temple in Shiloh since he was 4 years old, day in and day out, serving him, serving together, offering the sacrifices, cleaning up and doing their priestly duties. This was what they were doing day in and day out. And the Lord says, "You need to go to this man and tell him the time is now." This was a man who calls him son, who was his father figure, right? The man that gave him the skills to serve the Lord in the temple. And we are told that Samuel hears this word from the Lord, and he was afraid to tell Eli. He didn't want to go do it. But this is exactly what the Lord asked him to do. And church, sometimes as you get called into the mission field or into the ministry or into whatever it is the Lord is calling to you, it might not be pretty. It might not look how you think it should look. It might not feel how you think it should feel. He might call you to be a messenger of judgment or wrath, or to walk through darkness and heartache and sorrow. But he's saying, "Look, go and be faithful, be obedient, because in that I am walking with you." It's like, welcome to ministry, Samuel, right? Here's your first task. But I love that you can kind of see Samuel's heart there in verse 15 as well, right? Because Samuel didn't get this message from God and then run into Eli's room and be like, "Guess what God said about you?" Right? He didn't do that. He kind of laid there pondering in bed all night, and then he gets up and he does his chores. He opens the doors of the temple, which is probably the first thing he was supposed to do. And then Eli comes and actually kind of threatens him in a mean way to give him this message that God had proclaimed to him. Right? And he doesn't actually share with Eli until Eli kind of threatens him. Look what he says in verses 16 through 18. Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." Again. And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you?" I think he had to know, by the way. I think he knew what was coming. He said, "Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." That's kind of the mean part. But Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. This was Samuel's introduction to his ministry calling. And although he'd been serving the Lord faithfully in the temple since he was a boy, this was a new calling on his life. Right? Samuel at this point had only served as a priest in the temple. And now the Lord is calling him into the prophetic ministry of proclaiming the word of the Lord to the people of God. And this is this first task. I think this first task is so poignant because the Lord knows exactly what Samuel is going to be up against as he proclaims the word of the Lord to God's people. And so he sets Samuel up with this first task to tell Eli the bad news. And he's preparing him for a lifetime of service as a prophet of God. And I love it because he continues, if you look at Samuel's life as we will, he continues to deliver the message of God without fear of the consequences of man. And church, this is something that the church needs so desperately. To not have preachers and prophets who are speaking truth and then kind of sugarcoating it so you feel good about it. But who are willing to say, hey, good and bad, this is what God's word says is true. And to not fear the consequences of mankind in delivering that. And I love that that's Samuel's activity as he does this, right? Now, my fourth question is this. Because it seems like God gives Samuel this horrific task and then he's like, good luck. But he gives Samuel a great encouragement. So what encouragement did Samuel receive as he sets out in this new ministry calling? I'll look at verses 19 through 4:1. It says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. See, Samuel wasn't sent out on this ministry and sent on his own. It says the word of the Lord was with him. The word was growing in him and was changing who he was. And it was so prevalent that God was growing and working in his life that it said none of his words fell to the ground. The people received Samuel's words with open ears and open hearts because God was moving in that time and in that place. And my prayer for each one of you churches is, as you get called into whatever ministry or whatever calling he has upon your life, that you would realize that he's not calling you to go that alone. He's saying, go and be obedient, and I will walk with you. I will grow you. I will give you the tools and the gifts necessary to serve me in this way. It's an incredible promise. And we see that God blesses Samuel. He blesses him in his faithfulness. And I want it to always be said of this church, of this pulpit, of the ministries here at High Point, of every room in this building and every person that takes the word of God out into these communities, that we are a people like Samuel who proclaim the word of God faithfully, without fear of consequences, but with the love of God in our hearts, knowing that God goes with us as he calls us. And regardless of what calling the Lord has placed upon your life, whether you're called to be a minister of the gospel, or whether you're called to serve overseas or to help with foster ministry, or to just serve the Lord in your workplace or in your neighborhood, whatever it is, the Lord is asking you to simply be obedient to the call. To simply get up today and say, all right, Lord, how would you have me serve you today? There's an incredible story about King Henry III of Bavaria. And this is all the way back in the 11th century. And this king was a devout and deeply religious man. And at one point in his life, he decides, okay, I'm going to become a monk and I'm going to serve the Lord at this monastery. And so I'm going to spend the rest of my life there and I'm going to dedicate my life to serving the Lord in this particular monastery. And that sounds like a noble goal. And so he goes to the father of the monastery, the leader of this monastery, and he asks him, hey, I want to become a monk, and I'm going to submit my life to be obedient to the rule of this place and to serve the Lord in all these things. I'm going to do everything that God tells me to do, and I'm going to devote my entire life to this calling. So the father said, well, this is going to be really difficult because you're a king. So it's not an option for you to live in submission to my authority when you, as the ruler of the land, live over me. But they go back and forth. He says, no, this is what I've decided to do. I will submit to whatever God has for me as you tell me. So if you tell me to go out and garden, I will go out and garden. If you tell me to go serve the poor, I will go serve the poor. And he commits his whole life to serving this monastery. And this father comes to him and he says, then I charge you to go back and be the kind of king that you ought to be. You see, Henry III knew that if he had committed to be an obedient monk, then whatever the father of the monastery had for him, he had to do. And that father realized that a godly man and a godly king was more valuable than a guy who had sequestered his life off in a monastery. And when Henry III died, it was said of him that he learned to be king by obedience. He learned to be a king by obedience. Augustine wrote an incredible book called Confessions. If you've never read it, put it on your top of your shelf. It's a good one. But he says this. He says, give me the grace, O Lord, to do as you command and command me to do what you will. O holy God, when your commands are obeyed, it is from you that we receive the power to obey them. You see, church, the Lord isn't saying, just obey me and then good luck. He's saying, not only am I going to call you and walk with you, but I'm going to equip you for the task. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to give you everything you need to accomplish what I've called you to do. And all that you and I need to participate in is obedience. To get up and say to the Lord, here I am. Your servant is listening. So this morning, God may be saying to you as a mother, as a father, as a manager, as a programmer, as a doctor, or a truck driver, or a plumber, it doesn't matter. He's maybe calling you by name and he's saying, I want you to serve me in this area. And what will you say? What will you say when God's call comes upon your life? Will you respond like Jonah? Or will you respond like Samuel, who says, speak, Lord, your servant hears. I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do, and I'm going to do it for your glory and for your praise, even if the idea that you give me is a crazy one or a frightening one. And my prayer is that every heart in this room has the same kind of faithful obedience to our God. Hearts that say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And if you send me to Outer Mongolia, then I will go. And if you send me to Cedar Park, Texas, then I will go. And I will walk faithfully in that obedience, knowing and trusting that you are a God who provides all that we need and all that we could ever ask or desire. Amen? Let's pray together, church. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a God who does give us a task that calls us to serve your people, to build your kingdom and participate in the work that you're doing in this world. So Lord, I pray for open hearts and minds as you place passions and desires and callings upon each one in this room, that we as the body of Christ would be faithful and fervent to move in those. That we would not fear man or circumstances, or we would not make excuses, but we would simply say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Your servant is listening to you. And Lord, maybe you're trying to change something in us. Maybe we're already doing things and you're saying, no, I want you to go over here instead. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear the truth of what you would have for us. Let us not be deceived. Let us not live in fear, but help us to walk in obedience to you and who you are. We love you. We thank you that you are a God who gives us purpose, who gives us tasks, who gives us the great, incredible privilege of serving you, the almighty and holy God of this universe. We love you, but only because you loved us first. And all God's people said, amen.